very good to be here this morning. Glad to see everyone that's here and that's made it out on this windy Lord's Day. Under consideration this morning, we're going to continue our study that we've started in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We've looked at these four different things that the Apostle Paul says he's very thankful for the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, he says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." So three of them are mentioned here in this passage in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We've talked about the work of faith. We've talked about the labor of love. So today we're going to talk about the patience of hope. And that's a neat little phrase, the patience of hope. Now sometimes when you give a lesson, sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you're getting into something that's pretty deep and feel a little bit inadequate trying to explain something. Sometimes the sermon topic may be a little bit controversial. Sometimes you may have to say things that you really don't want to say, that are a little bit just on the edge. Let me tell you, this is a good lesson this morning. Because we're going to talk about patience, and we're going to talk about hope. And I'm glad there's a lot of young ones in the audience today, because I may change your definition of the word patience. When we have an idea of what patience is, I think it's a little bit different. So maybe we can learn it from a young age. You don't have to wait till you're in your 40s to figure out that patience means a little bit different than maybe what we think it does. So for a little while this morning, we're going to talk about the patience of hope. Now remember, Paul said, "I'm thankful that the church at Thessalonica has this patience of hope." And so I hope we can say the same about our congregation this morning. Before we go further, let's take opportunity to go to God in a word. Well, if I asked you to define patience, what would you say? You have a definition you can come up with. That's a word we throw around all the time. I remember that was the name of a song back when I was in high school. We used to sing patience all the time. And you hear the word, but you really thought about what it means to define the word patience. So we're going to split up this passage here about patience and hope. We're going to talk about patience, and we're going to talk about hope, because these two words can't be split from the passage, and you'll understand that by the time we finish today. So patience. So I went to the internet, and I looked up, and I just Googled patience, get a current definition of what patient means in our world today. And according to the internet, which never lies, it says it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. And I think that's what we think about patient. It's just, we just take it. We just take what's happening and we don't get mad. We just take it. And so I found this picture. I figured anyone could see it from the back, because everybody can understand the idea of this line right here with those three miserable letters of the DMV, and what it's like to sit at the DMV for an hour to be told that you were in the wrong line to go wait in the other line for another hour. It's just terrible. And so that's what I think the idea of patience in our mind is that, hey, we just take it. We don't get upset. We don't throw a fit. We go to Walmart, and there's three cashiers open, and the lines are all the way back out into the foyer. It's okay. We're just going to sit here, and we're going to take it. I remember a couple years ago, we went to the Spurs game. That was a lot of fun. Went to the Spurs game. Of course, I'm already aggravated because they make you pay to park. And that still always gets to me, that I have to pay the $10, $15, $20 to park my car. But that's okay. So we went up to the Spurs game. We were early and got up into line. And, of course, now you have to go through security. And we were in a line of about 100 people trying to get into the Spurs game. And I don't know if y'all are fans of the old Carol Burnett show. That's one of my favorite shows. There's a character that Tim Conway plays called the World's Oldest Man. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but if you can imagine the world's oldest man, he doesn't move too quickly. Well, we had the world's oldest man taking care of security at the Spurs game. And he would run that security one, and we sat, and we sat, sat, sat. I don't know how long it took us to get through that security line. But that's being patient, because I wanted to see the game. And right about the time we got up to where the world's oldest man was, here came another security guard, and they opened up a second line. And she could do it 5 seconds when it took the world's oldest man about a minute to do. But hey, that's okay. We got into the game. The buzzer goes off, and it's the second quarter. But that's okay. So we missed a fourth of the game because of this world's oldest man. But that's our idea of patience, I think, that we sit in line. We don't complain. We get on I-20, we get on I-10, we get on that portal one down in Houston, and we're stuck in traffic, and we take it. We just accept it. We don't get mad. We don't get angry. we're patient. Well, my question is this the only biblical definition? Because I'm telling you, that is a biblical definition of patience as well. That we're willing to accept things. And the answer is not. There's actually two biblical definitions for the word patience. And it's not only going to be translated patience in the Bible. Sometimes it's going to be forbearance. Sometimes it's going to be long-suffering, perseverance. There's some other words that go with it. But there is this context. So here's our first definition. There's a Greek New Testament word. And I have enough trouble trying to pronounce English words, so Greek words are going to be terrible for me. Makrothumia? Sounds good to me. I'm not going to pronounce it again, but this word right here, and it carries basically this meaning. It means that we're slow to anger. We don't get aggravated. We don't get upset very quickly. Everything is, we're patient. We just take it. We take the insults. We take the aggravation. When the car cuts in front of us on the interstate, we don't get upset about it. We just allow it to happen. So there's one biblical definition, and that is in the New Testament. The second word, I'm going to go back to this one, especially related to the word love. Why did I sit there in that line at the Spurs game while the world's oldest man made me late for the game? Well, it's because I love my kids, and they wanted to watch the Spurs. And I love the Spurs, and I wanted to see the game, and I'd already paid $20 a park, so I was going to see that game. But this word for patience is especially related to love, and that's according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. And I'm going to quote that a couple of times, because that's really good information. So our biblical definition number two comes from another Greek word, and it's hupomone. And write that down, Strong's 5281. If you ever want to have a neat little word study, that is one that's right up there, according to the experts, it's right up there with the word agape, if you want a Christian trait. And it's this Greek word here. According to Thayer, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose in his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So now this other word kind of takes on a whole other meaning, and that patience is going to imply that there's trials, that there's sufferings, that there's pain. And it's not just having to wait in line at the Spurs game. I mean, that's one type of patience, that we're patient and enduring and long-suffering and we don't lose our temper, we don't blow our top. But there's also something about this idea from this other word that means we're going to stay the course no matter how bad the trials are, no matter how horrible the storm rages, we're going to stay the course. Let me give you an example of that word. In James chapter 5 and 11. James says, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance, and I've got that in bold there. Go ahead and translate that, patience, if you would rather. You have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, and that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So here's that word. This is that hupomone word here. And we all know about the patience of Job. We use that phrase a lot. But have you ever really stopped to think about what Job went through? And why it has this Greek word tied with the patience or the perseverance of Job. Remember, Job was a rich man. So he lost pretty much everything. He had everything taken away from him. He had the sores put on him. He lost his kids. He lost his merchandise. He lost his home. He pretty much lost everything. And his friends kept telling him, why don't you just curse God? His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Job wouldn't do it. So I want to talk about the patience of Job. Let me go back to Job, the 23rd chapter. Notice what Job says here. This is a very profound statement. Job 23, verse 8. He says, look, I go forward, but he's not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. Speaking of God. He says, when he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. Job says, it doesn't matter if I go in front, behind, left, or right. I can't see God. However, he says in verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. That's patience. That's the biblical definition of patience. That I'm going to suck it up, and I'm going to take the sufferings, I'm going to take the trials, I'm going to take all the problems, I'm going to take everything that is thrown at me, and even though I can't see God, and it seems like God's not there, and I've looked to the left and to the right and to behind me and in front of me, and I can't see God, and everything is falling down around me. There's trials, tribulations, perseverance. I just can't handle it anymore. He says, God knows the way that I'm going to take. And when he has tested me, see, there's those trials. when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. That's the biblical New Testament definition of patience. That we're going to have to go through trials, tribulations. It's not if they come, it's when they come. And when they come, we defeat them. We finish the fight. We just get through it. Because we know there's something better happening. I love that word gold. Because we have this idea of gold brought forth again in the New Testament. Peter, in his writing, 1 Peter 1, verse 6, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." You don't go up to the mountains and find that perfect plate of gold. You go up there and find that golden nugget. Then it has to be refined. And the impurities have to be burned away. You have to go through trials. You have to go through tribulations. It's not going to be easy. But you have to have patience. You've got to say, I'm going to fight through it. I'm going to fight through the trials. I'm going to fight through the tribulation. And then I'm going to win. And it's not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. There's a certain amount of expectation. So this idea of this patience of hope. Hupomone, this word patience. Or the other one was especially related to love. Well, according to the International Bible here, Standard Bible Encyclopedia, this word is especially related to hope. That there's something out there better. That there is something that is going to keep us going. There's a great hope at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. As I was reading from this encyclopedia, it's also helpful, according to them, if you consider the antonyms or the opposites of each word. That kind of helps us understand the difference of the two words. Okay, our first word here. This is this idea of being patient and long-suffering and being willing to sit in the line and not get mad. Being slow to anger. Sitting on Interstate 20 when the cars are just backed up hours at a time. What's the opposite of that? What happens when we lose it? Well, this is when we get revengeful. This is when we get mad. This is when we get angry. This is when we have what we call road rage. And we take off on the shoulder of the road and it never works out well. But the opposite of this type of patience is revenge and anger and wrath. Okay? Now this hupomone, this is the idea of being hopeful. So what's its antonym? What's the opposite? It's despondency. See, they're two different words and they have very different meanings. So sometimes maybe looking at the antonyms will help us to understand it. Have you ever known a person that's lost hope? It is. It's sad. It is sad when people lose hope. And they lose what they're going for. They've lost that goal. They're not mad. They're not revengeful. They're not angry. No, that's a different type of patience. When we lose our patience of this second word, this hupomone, when we lose this type of our patience of hope, we become despondent. That there's no use doing anything. And that's sad because I think we all know of people who have lost their hope in the gospel. They've lost their hope of the church. They've lost their hope of heaven. And how sad is that? It's a sad situation. But this is what it's talking about, this word of patience. We need to have the patience of hope. Like I said, we can't split these two words up. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about hope. We can't split that. Here's another Greek word for it. It's the desire of some good with expectation of obtaining it. Now that's a little bit different than what we like to think about hope. We have a problem in our society, I think, sometimes differentiating between hoping and wishing. Well, I hope I get to do this, or I hope I get to get this new job, or I hope I get this new car. And really what we're saying is, I wish I had a new job, I wish I had a new car, I wish I got to go to that ball game. Well, there's a difference between hoping and wishing, because this biblical definition of hope says, we have an expectation of obtaining it. We are going to get what we're hoping for. And that is what is the foundation of patience. It's not what might happen, but it's what must happen. That's the idea of biblical patience. But there's something coming. There is something coming, and it's not if it's going to happen, but it's when it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. That way we can say that this Greek word here, hupomone, is endurance and thriving under difficult situations because of an eternal hope. There's something far better. Now I want you to take yourself back to the first century. We've studied a little bit about this congregation of Thessalonica this month. they were a congregation that was born in turmoil. They were a congregation that had a lot of people against it, from the city itself, from the Jewish people of the city. We studied last week, heard a lesson about the assault on the house of Jason. They were ready to beat that man senseless. They were ready to completely run the Christians out of town. In fact, they did run Paul out, and that's why he went to Berea. And then it wasn't too much longer, some of those people from Thessalonica went down to Berea and chased Paul all the way to Athens. We couldn't get away from him. It was a very difficult situation. There was a lot of persecution. There was persecution from the outside. There was persecution from the Jews. There was persecution from the government. It was a very difficult situation. And so I want you to think about this idea of patience that the Thessalonica church had faced a tremendous amount of persecution. Yet they were still growing. They were still faithful. They were still doing what they needed to do. Why did they have this patience of hope? What was it that kept the Thessalonian brethren going? Well, they had a great hope in something far better than what they had upon this earth. And I was reading this morning, I'd already made my notes up, but I was reading from John Maxwell's his name. He writes a lot of leadership type books, and I had one of his. And he had mentioned a man by the name of Blanchard, quoted from him. He wrote a book called The 1 Minute Manager. And in this book, he was talking about the difference of two words. One is interested, and one is committed. And what the difference is between being interested in a cause and being committed to a cause. They're similar, but they're not the same. And he went on to quote then one of my favorite football coaches, a guy by the name of Lou Holtz. If you've ever read any Lou Holtz stuff, he's a pretty funny guy, coached in Notre Dame for a long time. But Lou Holtz likened the idea of being interested versus committed. He called it the veteran kamikaze pilot. He talked about the kamikaze pilot, the veteran Japanese pilot who had flew 50 kamikaze missions. Well, if you flew 50 kamikaze missions, then you must have not been too committed to the cause. You may have to think about that one for a little bit. If you are a veteran kamikaze pilot, then you're not doing your job. You may be interested in the cause, but you are certainly not committed to the cause. Let me tell you, these Thessalonians, they were committed to the cause. And that's a very subtle difference sometimes, but they had an eternal hope. They had something better than what you could expect there in the city of Thessalonica. So what caused the hope? Well, I like this other translation here. This is the International Standard Version. This is the same verse we started with, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. He says, in the presence of our God and Father, we constantly remember how your faith is active. Remember he said work of faith. Your faith is active. Your love is hard at work. That's the labor of love. And your hope in our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is enduring. That's the patience of hope. They had a hope because they understood that Jesus was the Messiah and that it was enduring. Jesus was something far greater than what they had. Or what a completely different aspect that must have been for these Greek people. Okay, I got to take you back now. 1993. Going back a ways. This is my second year in college at ASU. And I was taking some literature course. We had to read a bunch of Greek literature. The Odyssey and the Iliad. I still remember it. Pretty interesting. I remember this. And it's taken me 20 years, I guess, to process it. It's the Greek perspective of hope. So if you'll bear with me just a minute, I got to kind of set the scene for you. If you've ever seen the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? One of my favorite movies. It is based loosely upon what's called the Odyssey. And the idea of the Odyssey is there was this Greek soldier named Odysseus, and he was trying to get home. And every time he tried to get home, something bad happened to him, and he just kept on going and kept on going. It took him 20 years to get home. From the Greek wars. Well, Odysseus, in one of the parts of the story in this book, the Odyssey, he is able to go to the underworld, and he is able to speak to these dead spirits. And one of the spirits that he speaks to is a guy by the name of Achilles. And you've probably heard of Achilles. He was like the most famous Greek warrior of all. And if you get into the mythology of it, his mama dipped him, held him by the back of his feet, and dipped him in the river Styx, and it made him immortal. Couldn't die. Only problem was she had to hold him right back here, and that's why we call that the Achilles tendon. And that was the only spot that he could be hurt, and that's where he got the sword ran through his Achilles tendon and killed him. Well, anyway, Achilles, is this Greek hero, and he is in the underworld. And Odysseus meets him in the underworld, is able to talk to him. And so we've got this Greek play, the Odyssey. It's a famous play. And I'm using this just to give you the Greek perspective of hope. And so I'm going to let Achilles speak for the Greek people, because this is what the Greeks believe. So Odysseus comes up to Achilles, and he is praising him. He said, "Boy, how lucky you are. You were such a great warrior upon this earth, man. You are so lucky to now you're in charge of all the underworld. You're just such a great person." And Odysseus is replied to by Achilles. Here's what Achilles says. "I'd rather serve as another man's laborer, as a poor peasant without land, and be alive on earth than be lord of all the lifeless dead." Let that sink in for a minute. This is what the Greeks thought about death. They said, "I would rather be the poorest, sorriest scallywag on the earth and be alive than be dead." So now that we understand why the Greeks were such a sinful society, it was all about living. Live it up. Enjoy whatever you have here upon this earth. Eat, drink, be merry, be as immoral, be as sinful as you want to be. Because once you die, it all goes down. There is nothing good after death. That's what the Greeks taught. They said, I'm letting Achilles speak for the Greeks here. He said, "I would rather be the least among the living. I would rather be the poorest, sorriest, most worthless living person than be dead." And then all of a sudden, here come these Christians. And this Christianity starts teaching some things that are almost in direct opposition to what Achilles said. So I want you to think about a couple verses here. You think the Apostle Paul is speaking directly to Achilles here when he says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." He said, all we have is this life, how miserable we must be. In Philippians, I bet the Greeks read this and they thought, "Boy, that Paul, he is a nut. He just doesn't get it." I'm sure that's what they thought, because Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That is completely opposite what the Greeks had been teaching in their culture forever. He says, "For to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's better to die." I'm sure they're thinking, "He's a nut. It doesn't even make sense." That's why the Greeks and the Christians sometimes had such problems. He says, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." So here come these Christians saying, "Listen, it is better to die and be with the Lord than to be alive here upon this earth." And here are these Greeks saying, "No, I would rather be the sorriest, poorest peasant than be dead." And so there's that conflict. And that might explain why the Greeks had such a hard time sometimes adapting to the Christian way of thinking. And it makes it more amazing in my eyes that the church at Thessalonica was as strong as it was, because it was put right in the middle of this mindset, and they believed. It was an amazing, amazing sign. So I'm going to go back to Job now. Remember our story about Job? We talked about him having patience. This is what Job says in Job 19:25. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." He knew it. He knew he was going to see God again. And it didn't matter what happened on this earth. He knew that his life after death was going to be better. That is the idea of patience. So when we talk about the idea of the patience of Job, there's a whole lot more to it than just he was willing to accept things without getting mad. There's a whole lot more to it. Job had this patience because he knew that there was a promise waiting at the end. Job understood that. Right? Sometimes we have a tendency to forget. So what's the eternal hope? Folks, we have a promise of heaven. It's not something that might happen. It's not something that could happen. It is something that will happen. And we have to have that faith. And we have to have that patience of hope that no matter what happens to us, no matter what problems or trials or difficulties come our way, we've got to fight through it because there is something at the end. That's what the patience of hope means. There's something at the end that's going to make it worth it. This is what Peter wrote, Peter 1, 3 and 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Isn't that wonderful? We have a promise that is something that is eternal. It's a living hope, he says, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's an inheritance that's incorruptible. It can't go away. There is a promise that's there at the end. That's what causes us to have the patience of hope. So when bad things start happening to us, we don't just accept it and say, well, I'm being patient. No, there's something much, much more to it. The biblical idea of patience is that we're willing to fight through it no matter what, no matter what the situation. No excuses. We don't give up. We keep fighting. We keep fighting. We keep fighting. We keep fighting because there's a promise at the end. And that promise is that eternal home in heaven. So to bring our lesson to a conclusion, can you define patience? What does patience mean? Does patience simply mean that we wait in the grocery store line without complaining? That we don't get mad? You know, in our family, grocery store or any store makes us mad. They make us mad enough, we boycott them. And when we start the boycott, it's just a matter of time. That company's going down. My older brother is famous for that. There's more to patience, though, than just getting upset, than not getting upset. That's one way to define patience. But I want you to see it as a much larger concept, a much larger Christian trait when we start talking about the fact that we are patient. I think about the patience of Job. He was willing to handle whatever was thrown his way. Why? Because he said he knew that one day he was going to see God. He knew that he was going to see God. He guaranteed it. And there was no excuse. There was nothing that was going to separate him from God. And so that's that word, hupomone. That's a neat word to study. That is a very deep concept of the word patience. Now we think about the patience of Christians. I worry about people today. Sometimes we don't like a lot of controversy. Sometimes people today, we don't like a lot of problems. We like everything to be pretty smooth sailing. I wonder what would happen if we were in the same situation as those Thessalonians. People were breaking down the door. People were beating up the leaders of the church and threatening to kill them and running off the leaders. Would our church continue to grow or would it wither away? I worry about people today. I don't know. I hope we would stand up and do what was right. You know, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower as he was throwing out the seed. You know, some people, they're interested. They are interested to a point. But it's kind of like he said he threw the seed out on the rocky soil, and boom, it shot up pretty, and that flower came up quick until it got hot. And as soon as the sun came down on it, that flower died and quickly wilted because it didn't have any roots, it didn't have any foundation. You know, a lot of people are interested, but are they really committed? Folks, we need to be committed to the cause of Christ. We need to be committed to the gospel. And when we have that commitment, then we can say we have the patience the Christians are expected to have. We're to have that patience that endures no matter what happens, that we fight through it because we have that eternal hope. Patience of hope. Well, it's caused by the fact that we have assurance of heaven. We have assurance that we're someday going to see God and that we're going to live an eternal life in heaven. What a wonderful thought. And we've got to believe it. We have to believe that it's not if it's going to happen, but when it's going to happen. Because that's what forces us to get through the tough times and the bad times, is having that hope. We must never let our patience of hope fail. We must never let ourselves, remember the antonym, remember what it meant to lose patience? We must never become despondent and allow ourselves to lose hope. Because once we lose the hope, it's hard to force ourselves to do things anymore once we lose hope. We don't ever want to become despondent. I'm going to leave you with a couple verses here from Romans, the 8th chapter. In Romans 8, verse 35, Paul writes, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Should any of those things separate us from the love of Christ?" We might look at that list and say, yeah, that one might. It's real easy to allow those things, but no, we can't do that. We have to have the patience of hope. Fight through. fight through whatever trials, tribulations, just like these earlier churches we have there. Now, we got to fight through it. Because, he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've got to stay the course. So as we look at this idea of patience of hope, if nothing further, I hope I've given you a little bit fuller definition of the word patience. Yes, it means to be slow to anger. Don't get upset with people. When the car cuts you off on the interstate, don't chase them down. Don't flip them off. Don't ram into them. That's part of patience. Don't get upset when you're in the grocery store line and you're 100 people. And they have the two cashiers. Don't get upset. Don't get upset when the world's oldest man is the one running the security and he costs you part of your ballgame. Don't get upset about that. That's part of patience. But the other part of patience is accepting anything that comes our way and saying we're going to win, we're going to be victorious, we're going to fight through it because we have a hope of something at the end. And that hope is at home. Concludes the thoughts I've had for this morning. We never like to close the service, though, without having a song invitation.